Yes, you! You're looking sexy! Oh, and you're listening to the Kid Craddock Podcast. Kid Craddock in the morning.
You know, most of us spend our whole lives saving money.
Mm-hmm.
And some of us put it into a 401k. And
right.
We put that money into that 401k to take care of ourselves.
What news report have you been reading? Nobody's saving.
Well,
the country's going bankrupt.
I know, but people want to try to do that. And a lot of people have put money into their 401k. But we have a lady on the phone who actually took and spent most of the majority in her 401k that she had with her husband.
Yeah.
On something for other people, not for herself.
A bar?
No, not a bar.
No. She's just
actually,
you, Al.
She's
no, Al,
actually kind and
yes,
it helps humanity.
Something more selfless and meaningful than
yes,
that.
Okay.
Karen Bauer Socks is the founder of Downs Designs, a special clothes for special people. Hi, Karen.
Hello, how are you?
We're good, Karen. How are you this morning?
I'm great. I'm just great.
So JC said you founded Downs Designs, special clothes for special people. Tell us about your company.
Well, it's about 4.5 years old, and, you know, I've been blessed with a granddaughter who has Down syndrome.
Uh-huh.
So as she grew, you know, we would see her tripping over her pants and her sleeves dragging in her cereal bowl. And when she was about 4, and my daughter actually challenged me to start a company to make clothes for people with Down syndrome. And I literally knew nothing about the clothing industry. I was just running my husband's medical practice at the time. That day I went home and I looked online. I said, I'll just buy her something. Well, that's what started all this. I couldn't find anything made specifically for a person with Down syndrome. And the adaptive wear that was available for even people with disabilities was very, very limited. So that's kind of how my mind got going. And, you know, I started inquiring and I called the design school here in Cleveland and I talked to some teachers and said, how would I do this? And they said, well, you need to hire a designer. So that's how it all began. I hired a designer. Her name is Jillian from our local design school. And we've been off and running ever since. Now we've really, we started with jeans. Of course, I thought I was going to, you know, go to the bank and get $1 million
yeah,
right,
and all this. And
doesn't work that way.
You know, that didn't work. So we started with refinancing the house, and then we borrowed against our medical practice, and then I started, you know, trying to get anywhere I could get anything, and then I'm now into the 401k.
Mm. Wow. So this is really a passion for you that
totally,
you're willing.
I've even have, I don't know how many zero interest credit cards.
Right.
Yeah.
I got you.
It took us really over 2 years of just designing and getting things manufactured before we even started selling anything. So there was a lot of money invested even before we had anything to sell.
Yeah,
so I think a lot of it was spent early on, and now that I'm almost out of it, now I know how to do it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Now you've got it down to a science. What is the feedback you're getting from your clients and the parents of children who, you know, have had this problem for years and finally they're seeing their prayers answered?
They're literally, I can't even express it, the emotion that I get from every email and from the mothers or the caregivers, of the gratitude that they've never had anything like this that had fit so well, and they're so thankful that, you know, someone is doing this, and I just want to do more, and it's just so cost prohibitive right now. That's why I started the Kickstarter program, trying to make a variety of clothes rather than just one pair of jeans. You know, I want to have dress pants and shorts, and I want to do khakis, and I want, you know, and it just takes a lot of money.
I know you said you've gotten an overwhelming amount of responses from parents with children with Down syndrome, but is there a particular moment or email that you can recall that just really touched you and made you realize, like, this is really what I'm meant to be doing, something in particular?
Almost everyone makes me feel like that. But just recently, and I think I mentioned it in, you know, the story that came out in the Daily Dot about the woman whose daughter was in braces from her knees down.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was an incredible emotional story for me, that she was very restricted in her walking because of the clothes that didn't fit, and then with her braces. And her own self-esteem was very low, and she walked very difficultly. And she put, when we got her pants, and they're all stretchy, and they fit her, her walking was no longer constricted, and she walked with a new prance in her gait, and she walked taller, and she wears a smile. How do you put that into just a pair of pants?
Exactly.
There's so much more to our genes. They're just not a pair of genes. They're dignity, they're confidence, they empower independence, and all that in a pair of pants. And believe me, I would have never thought this would have gone like this when I first began. It just, I had no idea the impact it would make on people's lives. Children that can dress themselves. Think about going to school and not being able to pull your own zipper down and unbutton your pants, and being 15 and saying, could you help me pull my pants down?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Karen, what's the next step for you with this Kickstarter campaign? What are you trying to do?
Well, I will tell you that if I don't reach even the next stretch goal, I will only get the original amount of $5,000. And I just the good thing is, you know, this kind of thing, getting the word out there. The sad thing is that I'm not getting the funding that I really anticipated getting. I really thought this would go much faster.
Yeah. Right.
And it's not over yet, but we're almost at $9,000, and my first stretch goal is $55,000, and that was to make shorts. And then we had goals to make black dress pants, and then we were going to make all new jeans. I'm starting to run out of sizes, and I wanted to make all new styles. So that part of it, I don't know where that's going to go. It's not over yet, and I don't know where my next contributor will be. I just hope someone sees what I'm doing and how important it is, and I need people to donate, and they'll get something. I mean, it's kind of a win-win, or someone who wants to donate to someone else. You know, we're going to have clothes to give people as a reward, and our T-shirts and so forth. But I just think it should be more than just the reward. It has to be about what I'm going to be able to do if I can raise this money. It's everything to me. And if I don't, I'm just scared.
It makes me really kind of angry when people do start a Kickstarter campaign for something like potato salad. Did you see that campaign? And people are sending money to potato salad, which is nonsense. But isn't it funny? And then you have something really meaningful like this, which obviously means a lot to you. You can hear the emotion in your voice.
Yeah,
and,
sure.
You know, if you can give $5 or $10 to potato salad, can't you help this woman with her cause?
Right. Where can you know that I have 70,000 people on my Down Designs page from 45 countries that have been following our progress for 4.5 years.
Whoa.
70,000 people.
Karen, we're gonna jump on board with this, and we're gonna put the links to your website and your Kickstarter campaign on our website at KidNation.com, so that those listening who want to help, if you want to help Karen, just go to KidNation.com, and every little bit of money helps, right, Karen?
Yes, I mean, you know, you get a lot of people give a little. This could mean so much to so many. It's just so important.
It is.
Well, I hope we help you reach your next goal and go even beyond that, Karen.
Me too. Me too. I mean, it's just become my life's passion. Who would have thought? You know, I'm 65 years old. And here I am.
It's a good passion.
It's a really good one.
Well, God bless
you. So worthwhile. Well, thank
you. Wonderful.
Thank you so much for your help. Thank you so much.
All right, we'll have that up on our Kid Nation. Where are we going to have that, JC, so we can link it?
KidNation.com. Her website will be up, and the Kickstarter campaign. And again, it's Downs Design, special clothes for special people. Karen Bowersox, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Thank you a million times. I'm so grateful.
Thank you
for putting smiles on people's faces. Bye-bye.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
You are about 20 minutes away from scoring yourself a $250 gas card from Cooper Tire with Road Trip Roulette. What we do is we spin the wheel of numbers, the roulette of numbers. It has numbers 1 through 9. If you hear the number that your odometer starts with, all you got to be is the 13th caller and you'll score that gas card, okay?
That's right. You don't count zero. It's only numbers 1 through 9.
Yeah, thank you, Kelly.
Yeah and on a Friday, we're going to take those people who win during the week, and you'll be entered to win a grand prize, a $500 Visa gift card, 4 Cooper Tires, and so much more. So if you're going road tripping, especially this Labor Day weekend, how awesome is that?
I'm going road tripping.
Do it.
I'm going road tripping.
Well, I don't know.
Only like 40 miles.
Like, where would I go? But see, that's the cool thing, because, you know, this roadtrippers.com has this fun list of 100 places you can go.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Or is it just a place you can go within 100 minutes of your home? That's what it is.
That's even better.
So, you know, because, I mean, if you a spur-of-the-moment thing, it's kind of hard. But if there's so many fabulous places, just
take a gas
ride there
get
for the day
there
and come
back. Yeah.
Perfect.
All right.
I love that idea, roadtrippers.com.
Hey, y'all want to hear an update?
Update of what?
Curtis.
gosh, you know, I hadn't really...
Hold on, Al. An update on who?
Curtis.
Yeah.
Just got my letter from the kennel.
Production says make it quick.
Obedience. Your puppy's doing just fine. He's progressing well in training. He's walking nicely at heel, on leash. Jumping up is under control. No accidents in our home also. He's minding his manners. Entering and exiting the door, no counter surfing, so he's not bolting, that's what she's saying. He's cooperative, having a great time with his playmates, loves the other dogs, plays nicely, in control.
Nice.
Yes.
But is he chewing flip-flops?
Right.
And couches.
He's coming when called off-leash. He's retrieving and coming along, bringing whatever it is back to the trainer.
Yeah.
All in all, he's being a good boy. Yay!
Great done.
So he's ready. He's graduated.
Kind of.
So from, now he's just being babysat.
Yeah.
From doggy letters to Big Al Mac, we move on to
love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
And I believe, Jenna, you have a letter there.
What seems to be your query, lady?
Go ahead.
Yes. Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am.
Monica writes, I'm mildly bipolar. I'm not all crazy like people tend to assume, and I do take medicine to keep it under control. I believe relationships should be built on honesty, so I usually tell the guy within the first few dates. Ooh. But then they run. Mm-hmm. I'm actually a pretty normal, fun-loving woman if they can just look past that one part of my life. Am I better off withholding this information for a while, or have I been dating the wrong guys?
You're better off withholding it. I personally think.
Really?
You know, people are, we're in such a society, this TMI generation, where you just tell all your business and put it out on the table.
Yeah.
You know, the odds, you know, it's dating's a ruling out thing.
Right.
When you get to love, not in this casual getting to know each other stage of dating, I wouldn't put out your real dirty laundry until you get to the part where, all right, now we're falling in love. You know what I mean? And some people might disagree with me on that. You know, oh, then you fall in love and then you find out they're bipolar or then you find out they've got a criminal record and stuff like that. But some stuff just needs to wait.
Yeah, you can wait on some
stuff. I'm not saying necessarily it has to be three dates. Some people move a lot slower and a lot quicker. But I just think you need to hold something back.
So if I was in the pen for about 10 years, I should withhold that for a few.
I wouldn't tell it on date one. I mean, that's just what you're hoping that people
are like
that.
It's like when you meet a guy or you just like meet someone at a bar and you're talking.
Okay.
And then out of nowhere, they just volunteer, you know, that, well, I've been married before. That didn't go well. I'm kind of like, you know, it's not going to make or break a relationship if you really start liking someone. But right off the get-go, it sounds like you're not over it. I mean, let it organically come up at a point where it might, you know, might affect the relationship.
Wait for him to ask the questions instead of you throwing it out there,
girls,
type thing.
Like, who's going to ask, are you taking bipolar medication?
That's what I'm saying. That's a tough one to get to.
No. I just mean if mental illness or something came up in conversation, you're watching something, you know, but not in the beginning.
I wouldn't bring it up the first few days.
No.
But I had a girlfriend that she was and she is happily married now, three babies and stuff. But she would tell a guy on the first date because she was over 30, like, I'm dating to get married. And she would tell a man like that on the first date. And I was telling her, you're scaring everybody off. But you know what? The right man came along who was
that wanted
like,
to be married.
I'm not wasting time either. I'm at a point in my life. Why waste time?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, somebody you can share that information with be like, you know what? I can see you're a quality person and I'm going to stick around. But I just don't know about putting
it
out
there. Wait a little bit.
Way early.
Mm-hmm. Wait a little
bit. Single ladies, and I know everybody hates the show. Watch Bachelor in Paradise.
Please watch it. Even though we've got some scoop on The Bachelor coming up, which I meant to talk about yesterday and I forgot.
Really?
Oh, yeah. They announced it today, right?
Ari Jr. tweeted it during the Emmys.
Oh, what an idiot.
Oh.
We'll get to that in a minute. But I'm very upset. And y'all are going to have to talk me into watching The Bachelor. You're going to have to talk me into it because I don't know if I can.
Okay. I think I know what that means.
But, man.
No.
Yes.
I think I know what that means.
This show, they had two episodes.
ABC blew it. But
they
this
did.
Is Love Letters to Kelly. This isn't The Bachelor.
Right. Yeah, let's get back.
Well, good.
Love Letters. Love Letters to Kelly.
Oh, and this one's good, Kelly. I like this one. Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
I am, and I can't wait.
I got engaged 4 months ago.
Okay, is this from a man or a woman?
This is from Kelsey, a girl. And my fiance is finalizing his groomsmen. Mm-mm. Here's the problem. I used to date his roommate, and he wants to have my ex, his close friend, as one of his four groomsmen. So, they know I've been intimate with both of them.
Oh.
And it's really weirding me out. How do I tell my fiance I don't want my ex on stage well, I'm getting married, and I would prefer him not to be there at all.
See, this is kind of a tricky thing, because if you act like it bothers you, your fiance might think, well, you're obviously not over him if it still bothers you.
It's just weird.
I have a hard time believing those guys are over it.
Right?
They're, because usually guys can't
guy
handle
rule.
That.
First
guy
of all,
rule.
A guy code was broken.
Big time.
Big time.
And, but apparently
maybe
they're okay
well,
with it. They're okay with it because they're still.
Yeah, that's the thing that's kind of throwing me for a loop is that the guys are okay with it.
Normally that's
well,
not okay.
But if you don't be okay with it, it's going to maybe make your fiance think, like I said, you're well, not, you're obviously not over him if it bothers you. It shouldn't bother you. No matter who walks up in the room, you shouldn't be threatened.
Well,
you shouldn't be bothered.
The Ray J in this equation, he's always going to be good with it. Like, he's like, I was there first.
Yeah,
it's,
but the fiance.
It's a fiance. I don't understand how he's.
How would he even.
I can't. I don't even want to look at a guy that could potentially have kissed my wife.
Maybe
in the past.
He's just exceptionally mature.
How?
Like, he's got to be.
Like, extraordinarily secure.
That's so. I can't even.
I'm like you, dude.
Think
I don't
about
even
that.
See.
It's hard to wrap your brain around that. But if he's okay with it, you need to be, as the bride, okay with this. Focus on your man. Because that's going to send some signals
he's
to your
right.
fiance.
The problem with that, Kelly, is that everybody at that wedding knows.
Not everybody.
I bet you they
know
do.
Everybody I've been with.
Because they dated.
You don't know
and
nobody.
Then she moved on over to the. They know. Or at least some of them know. At least the guys. And they're going to be picturing what those three people were.
I don't want to see.
Nothing.
Hear about, it's just like when I go in a restaurant, I don't want to think that anyone else has sat at that table before. When I see my girlfriend, I don't want to know that anybody else has ever been
there. I was
there.
The first and only in my eyes.
I try to pretend in restaurants that nobody's used that glass before.
Yeah.
I'm
if they don't have straws, I really have to talk myself into drinking.
That's
out
what
of glass.
We do with girls, Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
We pretend we're the first.
Nobody's ever drank out of
why?
It.
Why? Everyone has a past.
I know.
I know,
past,
but I don't
in
need
my head,
that. I don't need that.
Yeah, I don't want to know.
I don't need that in my head.
Somebody you were intimate with being in the wedding party, that's
weird.
Weird.
That's deep.
That's
in
weird.
The wedding party.
That's weird.
It right. is. I'm telling you, it's weird. But if the fiance's over it, what are you going to do?
See, I encounter that a lot at college friends' weddings. You know, my girlfriends and I laugh about it.
Really?
Not necessarily groomsmen.
Roommates, and they did the switcheroo.
I mean,
literally, one day she was hooking up with this guy, and then she started the relationship with this guy.
It's a small, ancestral world.
But groomsmen?
Okay, we got it. we all got it.
We understand you can't. I mean, you said that you would divorce your wife if one of your best friends saw her naked.
I didn't say I would divorce her.
Yeah, you kind of
did.
Yeah,
you did.
I didn't say. I said if I was dating a girl,
no, you
I
said
wouldn't want another
would,
guy.
You went on to say, yeah, you would have to divorce her.
Obviously, I was joking.
Oh, obviously, right. Obviously.
I know you're joking, but I'm just saying.
You throw it out there, my wife's going
to
sit there and think.
Easy to say you were just kidding after the fact.
Stop being defensive about it. I know you were saying it in jest, but
right.
The point is guys are very visual, and you're very sensitive to that. Like, I don't know. I'm different. I don't want to hear details, but I would hope that whoever I marry has a past. That I'm not the only person he's ever been with.
So you want them all lined up there when you get married?
Yeah, having a pass is
yes,
one thing.
That's what I
up there,
mean. That's what I want.
Up there watching you when you're in your white dress with the veil
that's,
about to
that's
start.
Well, that's a lie anyway.
Well, still.
Yeah.
But, okay.
Love letters. Love letters to Kelly.
Oh, this just in. I got another.
Breaking.
Another?
Breaking
another.
Letter.
Dear Kelly, you are the love expert.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm 42. And my girlfriend is 28, and we've been dating for 3 years. She's a pretty solid girl. You mean solid like cool, not big.
Okay. Maybe she's really in shape. Maybe she's in shape, solid muscle.
She has a great job. She isn't out in the clubs every night. She loves being with me, and I love being with her as well. I've had my player days in the past, but I think those days are pretty much behind me now, especially since I'm in love. So here's my question. How do you know when you are really ready to go to the next level? Yes, I'm talking about marriage. I see so many of my friends get married and divorced. I just don't want to end up like that. Are there any definite, surefire, 100% ways to know if I am ready to get married? What types of questions should I ask her or ask myself? That is from Sebastian.
Sebastian.
Sebastian. What a cool name.
Well,
what's so funny?
don't know why.
I think
this
you
is
need
just,
to maybe
like,
have conversations
be
because
done.
There is such a vast age difference there.
Uh-huh.
Some people might not consider a 14-year age gap to be that vast.
How old was
some
he again,
people
Jenna?
Do. He was 42. She's 28.
Yeah. 28. This is the thing. I don't.
It's 14 years.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world.
I think. It's
but
not
sometimes
as much an age difference as much as it's like motive. Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes a man of that age is already, you know, maybe he's already had. Let's just take for instance, maybe he's already had children from a previous relationship, and he's done having children.
Uh-huh.
He needs to have that conversation. Are you planning on having kids? Because I have decided I'm done. Or maybe a man is open to the possibility of having another child. That's a conversation you need to have.
Mm.
You need to have a conversation about, I mean, real practical things. I'm going to tell you the best thing you can do if you don't go to church or whatever, I don't care, is go to premarital counseling.
Uh-huh.
Because they force you to talk about subjects that are business related,
right,
and touchy, and it's hard to bring up in natural conversation, but it forces you to talk about things like, well, if we do have children, are we going to raise them in a church? How are we going to discipline? How do you feel about spanking?
Yeah.
How do you feel? But things like that. How do you feel about having a joint savings account? Are you going to keep your money separate? How are we going to do that? These are really important questions that can destroy a marriage.
Yeah.
But nobody wants to talk about it because it's not fun. It's fun to pick out the wedding dress and what color pink you're going to have for the cocktail napkins at the reception. That's the fun stuff.
Right.
Oh, let's have a destination wedding. Oh, that's great.
Ooh, yeah.
But nobody wants to talk about the stuff that's going to end up destroying your marriage. So
yeah. Like, do you want to keep flying back and forth from one country to another?
I'm telling you, go ahead. If you're willing to have that conversation with her, say, you know, this is where I'm at in my life, but I want to make sure this is right. I want to do the mature thing and go to premarital counseling.
Are you going to get mad if my dog chews up your stuff? That type of stuff,
like,
if he has a pet, by chance.
Right? That's very important.
You know, because sometimes family stuff's very important to others.
It's extremely
important. You know, like, I'm not
important.
Super close with family,
uh-huh,
so it's not like I would expect approval necessarily, but a lot of people, that's very important.
I've got a girlfriend right now, but I love him. His family makes her life a living hell. They hate her.
Ooh.
And they ostracize her.
Oh, they hate her.
When you marry someone, you're marrying them.
The son picks the family side over her.
Oh, you can't do that.
I'm like, why? But I love him.
What do you do?
I can't picture anybody in my life but him. I'm like, you're signing up for this. Mm-hmm. You're signing up for a life of hell.
A life.
The women go. But I love him. Love ain't everything.
Forever.
Love ain't everything.
Sebastian.
I'm telling you, go to premarital counseling. I don't care if you think I'm the stupidest person in the world. I'm going to save you a lot of heartache.
Yeah.
There you go, Sebastian.
Before you do the embarrassment of getting engaged and then, oh, it's so embarrassing, now I can't call off the wedding, it's too late. Go to premarital counseling before you even get engaged.
Hmm. All right.
That's my advice for everybody. I'm not even looking at anybody. I'm just telling you.
No, yeah,
that's
looking
my
at JC.
Advice.
Yeah.
This we are. Everybody gets married and gets divorced. I mean, it happened
not
to me.
Everybody.
I'm not. I'm.
But it
I'm
happens.
Telling you.
It does happen.
It happens.
I'm telling
I've
you.
I've done it.
Yeah. So.
I'm telling you.
Telling me.
You know, it's not too late for you and Kenzie. Y'all should go to premarital counseling. I'm sure, there's conversations you still need to have.
We did counseling.
I think they're pretty good.
So I don't know. What's the verdict?
Counseling?
I mean, they should at least get engaged and then see where it goes.
No. That's exactly what I didn't say.
Just see what happens.
Get engaged.
I said, once you get engaged, then it's embarrassing.
Yeah.
And it's mortifying for the girl.
Uh-huh.
And that's mortifying.
You know what,
some guys take it hard, too. Go to premarital counseling before you even go ring shopping. I am telling you this.
I think Sebastian should propose soon. And I think Sebastian should then, as the wedding's getting planned, call it off via phone call like Rory McIlroy
right.
did. And then maybe his career will really take off after that.
Make sure you ask for the father's hand, for the daughter's hand.
Y'all are jumping the gun.
Make sure you haven't even gone through premarital counseling.
They're so in love, and she's solid.
She's a solid girl. Love is, you can be
just
so in love
other.
With somebody, and you let him take you naked pictures, and then 2 years later, he's plastering up at your office because he's
naked,
mad at you.
Naked pictures.
I'm telling you,
she's
I don't care how in love you are, it ain't everything. You need to go have those tough conversations with a neutral party. Religious counseling, I don't care if it's secular counseling, go to premarital counseling.
I have a question.
Did you go to premarital counseling?
Yes, and I got divorced. But I'm telling you, it forces you to have conversations that are uncomfortable conversations that can save you a lot of heartache in the end. It does not guarantee you're not going to get divorced, but it could save you a lot of heartache of going through with the wedding in the first place. If you have that big fundamental differences that you've never bothered discussing.
Why are you preaching at me?
Because nobody's listening
Sebastian.
To me this morning.
I'm
Nobody.
Listening.
We're listening.
We're listening. Jenna,
or just get engaged.
Jenna,
good luck.
Jenna just
how
said,
about that?
Get engaged and see how it goes.
Go for it. Let her point the little ray gun at fancy fun China.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Sebastian, can you write us and ask and let us know if she wants fine China? I know you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
I know you're there.
That has to be a prenup of some sort.
That's a cool name, though.
Is it?
Maybe they should just have a baby before they get engaged.
Oh, my.
I think that always works, right? A baby fixes everything, I've heard.
Well, she'll want a baby.
Yeah. Oh, she'll definitely want a baby.
Most girls relationship do. Problems.
A woman will think she doesn't want a baby about 28, 29. You go through baby phases.
Uh-huh.
And then suddenly it hits you.
Something's wrong with
you. You can't walk through the department store, that section. You'll be weeping. Your womb will start weeping. It's bad.
Ooh. Your womb?
If you have a weeping womb, give us a call. 800-KID-LINE.
It's the pain you can't explain, and it just happens. You can think for years, I don't want a baby, I don't want a baby, and suddenly it hits you. You going to get you a baby. I'm telling you.
What is that?
Well, look, I'm going to steal one.
You're going to get pregnant. You're going to find a way to get
no.
pregnant.
How come you're only making eye contact with me throughout that letter?
I couldn't do that right now.
Because this ain't about anybody. I'm answering Sebastian's questions.
Okay.
Ask and answer.
I mean, usually look at everybody in the room. You're just looking at me.
You're just right in front of me.
It's like you didn't want to make eye contact.
I don't make eye contact with anybody.
What's coming up?
Back to more of the Kid Craddock Morning Show. The Kid Craddock Morning Show.
Baby, you got the keys. Now shut up and drive.
Yep, it's that time to play Road Trip Roulette, brought to you by Cooper Tire.
Is that me?
Yeah.
Oh, where is it? Oh.
Yeah.
We're going to spin our roulette wheel. Numbers 1 through 9 are going to pop up. And if you hear that number on your odometer, if your number starts with that number, okay, if that number is what starts your odometer, get
the
it?
The first number.
The first number of your odometer.
Yes.
You then have to be caller 13.
Okay.
And you'll win a $250 gas card.
There you go.
It's not that complicated, really.
No, not at all. It's easy.
Let's spin the wheel.
All right, what numbers?
4. I want 4.
I want 5.
4.
Yeah, 5 or 9.
2.
3.
That's 3.
A good number.
Okay, 3's not bad. It's prime as well.
Okay. Probably had that car for about 3 years, maybe.
Yeah.
This is important. Listen up. We just landed on number 3. So take a look at your odometer right now. And if it starts with that number, give us a call right this second at 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
There we go.
Sorry, I was distracted.
It's okay.
Yeah,
bye.
What's going on? I know this is an interesting topic
what happened
that you
yesterday?
Brought up. Because it has something to do with sons, but you
yes,
have a daughter.
Yes, I know, but I think that women who have sons, it's a very special bond. And there's a lot of things you should teach your son mm-hmm. that he can use later on in life to help him in his relationships with women, right?
Okay. Because sure. I was the son of a single mother.
A lot of us are taught to look at how a man treats his mother, and that's how he'll treat you.
Yeah.
That's very true. And there's other rules if you have daughters, but we're not talking about that today. This is only, in my opinion, and my advice for mothers who are raising little boys.
Okay. From what you've seen.
From what happened yesterday, and I've had this happen more than once, and so finally something has to be said because obviously something is falling through the cracks here.
Okay.
So we had 2 hours to kill, maybe a little bit more than that yesterday for lunch. We had mm-hmm. to come back to work for our Dish Nation TV show. If you yeah. haven't watched it, check dishnation.com for your local time and listings.
There you go.
You're welcome.
Good plug.
Yeah, all right.
Big controversy on last night's episode with Jenna now.
Yeah. Ooh, lip locking going on. Yep. And you missed it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah.
All right. So anyway, so we go to lunch and I'm meeting a couple of girlfriends there.
Yeah.
And they start talking business. So you know what that means. I'm going to have myself a glass of wine and check out. Because I don't understand business. I don't have a head for business. You start talking charts and graphs and projections. I'm like, why am I here?
Okay.
Give me some Chardonnay.
Kelly's like, I'm talent.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so the waiter comes over, and don't ever ask the waiter to make a suggestion because I guarantee you it's going to be the most expensive glass on the menu,
always.
Which is, of course, what he recommends.
Yeah. That's not the right way. They're supposed to go mid.
No, he suggests the most expensive glass on the list. And, of course, I'm like, why are you $14 a glass? $14 a glass for Chardonnay at lunch.
Well, he's doing that because you're...
Raspberry, damn it. That's what my girlfriend said. Yeah. She shamed me into ordering it.
My lunch wasn't $14.
I'm telling you.
For one glass of wine.
One, the
Just a bunch of grapes.
Just, you know, don't ask for the waiter to suggest.
That was like normal.
Bunch of grapes squished all into juice.
I mean, I've seen the 20, and that's when I'm like, $20? I'm not even finished.
In general world. Mm.
So anyway, so while they're talking charts and graphs, and I'm sipping on my Chardonnay, I start looking around the restaurant. My mind's wandering, and there he is sitting across the room. I mean, unobstructed, clear shot. He's the man of my dreams.
Oh, okay. Your man.
Or I'm going to make him the man of my dreams in my head, right? Because he looks clean.
Describe him, yeah.
He looks clean.
Like he has a job.
He's clean.
How does a guy that has a job look like?
He's sitting there with coworkers.
Okay.
Having an engaging coworker. And it was like a mix. It wasn't like a bunch of guys just, we ain't got nothing else to do, let's go to lunch. Mm. It was a mix, like a couple of women, professionals, a bunch of guys, all professional looking. They look like they had jobs.
Yeah,
they do.
Okay, so that's
and they could all afford $14 glasses of Chardonnay.
Right. Charts and graphs kind of
Wait,
people.
Clean and employed?
He's clean
and employed. That's half the battle right there.
Right.
Oh, I got to lower my standards.
Serious? You will. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to make eyes at this one. That's the one. I have nothing else to do because I don't know about trajectories.
Okay.
And goal projections. Yeah, I don't know what that means.
You ain't got time for that.
So, you know, okay, I got to lay the groundwork.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing a skirt that kind of rides up when you sit down, so you have to change the way you're sitting because if you sit a certain way, it's all thigh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So you got to sit another way so you can see the length of your calf.
Just talking about
it's the truth. You got to sit a certain way, and you have to hold your Chardonnay with your left hand to let everybody who may have a question that I am single. There is no costume.
Good.
You will not even find costume jewelry on that finger. I want there to be no question. I'm single. I'm looking at you, and look at my legs.
This is if you're wearing a skirt, but what if you're wearing
boots and pants and boots and pants?
What do you do if you're wearing boots and pants?
Work it the best way you know how, ladies.
Okay.
So I'm sitting there. Well, of course, right at this moment, as I'm getting into position,
I'm locked, loaded,
and ready to start making eye contact.
The fingers showing, the legs are showing.
Here comes the waiter with all of their food. And you know how people get when their food's delivered to the table. There's the chaos of, no, this isn't mine, this is yours. Yeah. Oh, this is mine. Oh, that's mine. So they're all excited. So I'm ready.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He gets that plate. I'm staring. I'm ready with the eyes and my Chardonnay.
Okay.
And my perfectly positioned left ring finger aimed in his direction. And he ordered steak.
Manly.
That's right.
Did your lips jump?
The guy that gets
I had no lip jump. Okay. I'll be honest. There was no lip jump.
A
no
steak
lip jump.
For lunch. That's
and then he picked
man.
Up his knife and fork.
Okay. Uh-huh.
And it was like watching a 5-year-old for the first time.
Oh, no.
He stabbed the meat, didn't he?
I know how to cut a piece of steak. My mother, this is something my mother taught me, how to hold a knife and fork. You cut it.
Yeah.
Change hands to the fork. Eat. I don't even know how. I can't even demonstrate to you how to improperly cut a steak because I know how to do it. But it was one of those, like, saw, 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 saw.
He's sawing wood.
It was like if he was a 5-year-old with a, I want to eat steak like Daddy Play-Doh set. You know, and I can't even thank you, Trey, for bringing me plasticware, but I know how to cut meat, so I don't even know if I can do it wrong.
Right, right.
He just like I'm sure stabbing he took his and saw. Yeah. And then he doesn't even change hands. He uses and he does his fist, balled up fist, and eats backwards off the plate.
Kelly.
Now this is not an isolated incident. I see this a lot. Women, daddies too, you need to teach your sons how to cut a piece of meat. Because I'm going to tell you the truth, I was out. I'm like, I cannot sit across and have a romantic
deal
dinner
killer.
With some man that doesn't know how to hold a knife and fork.
Because he probably chews with the mouth open if he's doing that.
Backwards stuffing steak in his mouth.
Kelly, it's crazy that you said that because before you even went into what you need to teach your kids,
how to cut meat,
that is the one thing that I remember my mom teaching me is table manners.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. My mother taught me, and it wasn't I wasn't offended that she taught me. It's so cute to watch a kid when they're first trying to learn how to eat steak, and it's funny. My parents videoed me gnawing on a steak bone. I was three.
I remember the day she taught. I was probably about 6 years old, and she sat me down on the table, and she told me, you pick up the fork with your left hand, you put your index finger behind the fork gently, and then...
Same thing with the knife. You put your little index finger behind the knife.
Same thing with the knife.
You cut.
Cut a bite size, not a humongous mouthful.
Change hands. If you're right-handed,
put it
of course,
in your mouth.
And you pick up the piece with your...
It's
How
simple.
Hard is it?
And you know what? And at that time,
apparently, it is a lost art form.
It really is.
Men, I'm not looking at you two, Al. I honestly don't recall ever being offended by the way you cut meat.
Thank you.
But I've never. It's like this phenomenon.
No, I
grown
I see it.
Men.
Yeah, you're right.
Who can't cut a steak?
Yeah.
And I'm sorry. I'm sure you're a wonderful quality person. You probably go to church on Sunday. You never beat a woman. those are all fine qualities in a man.
But.
but you can't cut meat, and I'm out. Now, you might say, no loss. I didn't want Kelly Raspberry anyway. That's fine. But there are other women who feel the same way.
Yep.
That'll go a long way.
Cut your meat.
It can help you with a job interview if you go have a dinner for a
Seriously?
Job interview.
Sure.
It'll help you when you go meet the parents for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
That was the one thing I remember in high school is a mom saying, wow, you have great table manners. And I always recall my mom saying,
it makes a
my
difference.
Mom
it
taught
does.
Me that.
It does.
I'm
going to
tell you another thing that's lost, too, is...
And close your mouth when you're chewing.
Yeah. Close your mouth when you're chewing. Oh, my God. I don't want to call out...
Call him out.
I'm not, because it might hurt somebody's feelings.
That's funny.
No, I can't.
No, you can. Is it a guy?
It's too close. I have to wait. So anyway, another thing, you need to teach your little boys, starting from little boys. There's nothing cuter than a five-year-old boy holding open the door for a woman.
Absolutely.
I don't care if it's another little girl, if it's an old woman, if it's a bootylicious woman. I don't care. A little boy should be taught, you hold the door open for every female who is within 50 feet of approaching the door behind you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's going to be some jerk woman, there always is, I don't need your help, thank you. There's always
it's
that
all,
woman.
It's all right.
And, there's
okay. all,
and there's those rude women who don't say thank you at all. They just accept this gesture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'm telling you, I'm one of the women, and there are millions of us who get a giddy little lift that I'm being treated like a lady and that someone is a
open
gentleman and opening
open
the door
it, open
and will stand there and wait. What, an extra 10 seconds because I was coming up behind you? When a man goes to that effort, we are saying to ourselves in our heads and our little secret voices,
mm-hmm.
that boy's mama raised him right.
Right.
Amen.
And
yeah.
if a woman should say thank you, too. A lady should say thank you when anybody mm-hmm. does that. So teach your little boys to do that from,
good
a,
tips,
from a young
Kelly
age.
Raspberry.
I'm telling you.
Good
and
tips. I agree with you 100%.
My granddad told me that.
Yeah.
When you see a lady get home from the grocery store mm-hmm. and they have like 20 bags, if you're like 13 years old, help the lady carry her groceries back into the house. That's a big deal.
I'm not going off on feminists. Yeah, yay, woman power. But a lot of that stuff has backfired on women. And there's something about being treated a little bit special because you're a lady and you're supposed to be the weaker sex. I'm sorry. We're not the weaker sex. Come on. You know what I'm saying.
But better
being
way to
treated
say it.
Like
delicate.
A lady.
You guys are more delicate.
We go like on these kids trips. This is the only, I don't really have to do public transportation a lot. But when you go to Disney World and they have those buses that go back
right.
and forth and everybody's schlepping on the bus just trying to get back to your hotel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I see grown, healthy men sitting there.
And a lady.
And they ain't giving up their seat.
Because they got
I don't
on the
care.
Bus.
Yeah.
I
like
oh,
a pregnant yeah. woman standing there.
Pregnant. They'll make a pregnant woman stand. They'll make, because, you know why? Because mamas haven't been teaching their little boys manners,
mm-hmm.
and grown women are rude and not accepting a man's.
I'm guilty of
I
that.
I think a man
like,
will
I'm like,
end up,
I got it. I'll do it myself, you know?
Exactly.
But I'm also
and a man
alone and
stop.
An only child, so I've always lived alone and taken care of myself. So, you know, when someone's like, oh, I'll help like at a grocery store, I'll take this bag to the car. Well, I can handle it, and I'm fine.
Say thank you, unless you
yeah.
think you're about to be raped and robbed. But if
yeah.
you're on a public transportation and there's 50 people around and a man offers you a seat, don't say, no, it's okay. Accept
it. Take it.
Accept it and say thank you, because you're ruining it for everybody.
My sister,
you're ruining it for everybody.
My sister won't even get in the car. Like, if this is my sister. But, like, if we're rushing, trying to go at the mall, something mundane. It doesn't have to be like we're dressed up to go out to eat. Some guys will kind of step it up then. But we can just be going to wherever. She won't even get in the car if I do not open the door. She's got me trained. And another, she won't get out of the car. Unless I walk around there and open the door for her.
You know what?
But it doesn't bother me
that
cool.
much.
But
really?
I'm, it doesn't bother me. I'm
see,
not going to be mad, but I'm impressed when they do it. And
is.
I say thank you.
Yeah.
It is. Always say thank you. And you know what? If we don't start expecting it, they're not. They're
right.
like, whatever.
And I tell you another thing, fellas. If you happen to be riding with a girl, or you know what? If the girl is driving and you approach her car, go ahead and steal. Or you can still open the door for her, even if she's on the driver's side. A lot of guys are like, well, she's driving, she can open her own damn door.
What?
But, yeah, if she's driving and you're riding on the passenger side, you can still open the driver's side door for her and get in on the passenger.
There's nothing wrong
That's
with
a
saying,
little more of a...
There's nothing wrong with just saying, wait right there, I'll get the door for you.
I got
And then
you.
Going around instead of... Because a girl just automatically start to get out. Just say, wait right there, I'm going to get the door
yeah,
for you.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, it'll win you so many brownie points,
yeah.
bonus points.
When you get home...
You got to start teaching them young.
Gentlemen... Carry your woman back to the house.
Yeah, take it that extreme.
Carry her to the house.
That's legit.
Why don't moms
carry her back
teach
to the
sons
house.
To stop putting their hands on their pants when they're just chilling?
Well,
see, you can't stop that. That's just...
You know, take your jacket off. Just little things like that. I'm with you on that.
Putting your
hands
down.
That's kind of old school stuff.
But you got to start young, and you have to explain to them there are going to be little girls and there's going to be grown women who are rude, but you do it anyway because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Just like when you're in high school, you know, guys get such a kick out of giving their girlfriend their letter jacket or
yeah,
their school jacket.
Yeah, gentlemen.
You know, but, you know, if your girl's sitting somewhere and she's cold, you know, there's nothing wrong with taking your jacket off and giving it to the girl.
Yeah. Would you put it on the puddle so she don't have to step on it?
Absolutely.
That's too much.
No. Well,
that's too much.
You know, as long as it's not designer.
I've never seen anybody do that.
It's washable.
No, that's kind of extreme.
Yeah.
It's like back in the 70s.
No. In the 70s, they did that.
70s? Or like, no, we're like
in the 1800s.
Yeah,
maybe.
We're like
1800s.
If a guy gets my gas for me and carries my luggage, my luggage or heavy bag when we're going somewhere, even though he doesn't have to, I'm done.
I know.
I love it. I mean, done in a good.
Oh,
way.
You want a good one?
It pisses me off.
Way.
If I drive to a gas station and see the girl pumping the gas
and the dude is sitting
in the car.
Yeah. I hate.
Come on,
gas.
Fella.
I love that.
Come on.
Like I will do anything in the world you want if you're carrying my luggage and getting my gas for me.
What about this one? When you the guy just says, "Let me take your car for a minute." And he goes and gets it washed and detailed and brings it back.
Yeah.
And fills up the gas.
Oh, fills it up and everything.
Because I hate getting gas. I know a woman hates getting gas.
Speaking of gas.
I'll get back to you on that. I haven't experienced that one,
yeah.
DC.
It's all foreplay.
You haven't gotten that one?
It's all foreplay.
No.
There's a guy out there for he'll do that for you, Jenna.
It's so great when you date a guy and you need air in your tires and you have to go by yourself and get air in your tires.
Maggie Myers, man in your life?
Oh, my God, I'm on air.
Yeah, you're on air. Don't curse.
Holy, okay. Oh, my God.
Right, you said don't curse.
I'm so sorry.
You almost didn't
say it. I'm driving to work.
Hi, Maggie.
Hi, JC. Hi, Kelly. Hi, Jenna. Hi, Al.
Hi, Maggie. What are you doing this morning, Maggie?
Girl, I'm driving to work.
Yeah?
Where do you work?
I work out in Frisco for a doctor's office.
Oh,
what kind of doctor? Plastic. I need some attention.
OBGYN.
No, I don't need that kind of attention, I'm afraid.
Does he have a cool OBGYN name? That goes with the job?
Not really. I mean, it's John.
No, it's just John.
Dr. John.
kind of. How many miles are on your odometer? I can't say that word. How many miles on your odometer?
34,791.
Again?
34,791.
That started with a 3, JC.
That did, Kelly.
It did start with a 3.
Yep.
So guess what that means?
Al doesn't have copy.
You won a $250 gas card from Cooper Tire.
Yeah.
Woo! And I'm so excited.
Yay. Yeah, not only that, you're going to now be in the running for the grand prize of a $500 Visa gift card for new Cooper Tires and some more cool things to make your next road trip the best one ever.
Yeah, and you know, are you doing anything for Labor Day, Maggie?
I might go to Lubbock with my dad, but I'm not sure.
Well, that's a nice little road trip. And
I know.
But before you hit the road, you should hit up roadtrippers.com and click on Cooper Tire's 100 Minutes from Home page, and they'll have a list of fun stuff you could do maybe right there in Lubbock.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
Well, enjoy your
Thank
gas card.
You. Oh, my God. I'm so excited.
We
We're
love you, Maggie.
Excited.
Hold on for us, okay?
Hey, you.
All right. Y'all have a good day.
You too.
Maggie, you're a good winner.
That's,
yes.
We've had pretty good winners. Mm-hmm.
Very good winner.
Now, what about this, Kelly? If a guy sees a girl and she has a little food on the side of her face, should we lick our thumb?
That's gross,
and
Al.
Then get it off?
Everybody knows you just lick it with your tongue.
Just tell me. I hate when someone doesn't tell me I have food in my teeth and you're like a friend.
Just say you have a little something right there. You don't need to touch me. You don't need to lick it off. That's gross.
What about dry thumb rub off?
No, just say you have a little something right there.
My bad.
Just checking.
It's the Kid Craddock Morning Show.
We had a first happen yesterday for us. We're going to be taking a trip out to L.A. for our TV show Dish Nation.
Yeah, we're going to start season 3 after the Labor Day holiday, which is very cool. So everyone that's on the show gets to go out there and have some creative meetings and do some cool things.
But, I need somebody to send me some creative ideas.
Right.
Yeah. Creative meeting.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to do.
I don't have any.
Photo shoot and whatnot.
But
so.
The being creative already started. Because they asked us to give them something we've never done before.
Yeah, they gave us a call. They called each of us yesterday.
Well, no.
Well, I'm sorry. They called me and they called Jenna. And then we told them we were busy. But anyway, they were asking.
They sent us emails.
It was an email.
They asked us if when we check into the hotel, what name would we like to have as an alias?
What alias would we want our hotel to be under?
Now, which is so funny.
So this
it's
is the
just
thing.
Funny.
Because, of course, our first reaction is, well, like, our own name, because we're not that famous. But you've heard of this before. I mean, especially, we have a clip from Notting Hill, because that's when I first learned what an alias was, when Hugh Grant is looking for Julia Roberts.
I'm sorry about not ringing back. The whole two names concept was totally too much for my flatmate's pea-sized intellect.
No, it's a stupid privacy thing. I always pick a cartoon character. Last time I was Mrs. Bambi.
Okay,
Mrs. Bambi.
So that's stupid.
So she always. So we were like, we got to come up with this, but we're going to do this on the air, and we do want your help. So if you have something, you can call us at 800-KID-LIVE.
800-543-3548.
800-5-GEEK-IT.
So I had told everyone on the show yesterday, I'm like, don't say anything aloud right now so we can actually talk about what we want to do on the air, because this is kind of cool and fun, and even funnier if we actually tell you what it is, because then it's not quite an alias at all.
Then you can call all the hotels in L.A. and ask for Mrs. Bambi.
Now, normally it is a character or maybe even another celebrity. So I found a couple huge A-listers, and what they, I'm sure they have to change it all the time when it comes out, but what they have gone by in the past. So Mr. Drip Noodle, very random.
Mr. Drip Noodle.
I have no context from where this came from or why, but it is from Johnny Depp.
Really?
He has used Mr. Drip Noodle. So sometimes it's a random inside joke. Not in the case of one big pop star who goes by Chandler Bing.
Did you say pop or popped?
Matthew Berry?
Matthew Perry's character.
Yeah,
on Friends.
But this is a pop star. And pop would also be appropriate for this. Bieber.
Justin Bieber?
Has gone by Chandler Bing.
That's cute.
That's a good one.
Senior Pants. It's a girl.
Senior Pants.
It's a girl. Pregnant. Pregnant. By Ashton Kutcher.
Oh, Mila Kunis?
Yes. Mm-hmm. All right, and then you guys know who Kate Beckinsale is, of course. She has gone by multiple times, the source says, Sigourney Beaver. All right, and then a very famous rapper who has referred to himself by this name as the new Sinatra often goes by Frank Sinatra and when he checks into hotels.
Buble?
No, a rapper.
Rapper.
Oh, a rapper.
Who calls himself the new Sinatra.
Drake?
Oh, I don't know.
Mm-mm. Jay-Z.
Jay-Z.
Yeah.
I remember one time a celebrity told me their alias, and I was so honored because we were all in Vegas at the same time.
Yeah.
And Howie D told me if I, you know, everybody wanted to go out and ended up not going.
Is it Howie
Durrell? It was an award show. No, it was like Father Michael or something. It was something like that. It was like Father Michael. I'm sure it's not that now. Father
like
Miguel. I think it was like Father. It was Father something.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, I'm in the circle.
You're in.
All right, well, I'm sure you guys have some in mind for yourselves.
Well, we went on vacation one time with my friend John, who is just hilarious, and he decided we were all going to have fake names during vacation. And, of course, I'm like, overwhelmed. I can't think of anything. And so they're going around. They're naming each other stuff, and they decided we'd give each other rich white people-sounding names. Like, Muffy and Taffy and all those
Raspberry.
Things.
Muffy?
You know, that's like what rich people name their little girls.
Yeah.
Cricket. Muffy. And then somebody's always a cricket.
Muffy or Pepper.
I've never met a Muffy.
Well, you haven't lived in rich people neighborhoods.
So is that what you're...
No.
Oh.
He's sitting around brainstorming. He's like, oh, I've got the perfect name for you. I'm not even going to explain it. Those who get it will get it.
Okay.
Lane Bryant.
Is that a clothing store? Isn't that a clothing store?
Yeah, it's for the big girl.
I said I wasn't going to explain it.
I explained it.
And he didn't even realize what he'd done. He just, I was like, what? And he, because he knew he heard the name, he didn't know from where. Lane Bryant was my alias.
Lane Bryant.
See, and I'm leaning more towards like maybe even a deceased celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like Tupac.
Yeah.
Oh, that might be too morose though.
You got to change a little bit. Like if I went with celebrity, I would go with Macaulay Culkin.
Oh, you're going to change punny. The name. You go punny.
Right. Yeah, I'd change it a little bit.
I have to take one from one of my favorite movies. Mike Lowry.
Good one.
Okay. See, that's a good one.
What do you guys think about Kim Jong-un?
No, I don't even want to fake that.
Okay, Kim Jong-duk.
Kim Jong-duk.
Kim Dog-twa.
Can I go by Kelly Raspberry?
Probably. But you might have Al knocking.
See, I'm kind of tempted to go with a huge celebrity that's like very big right now. You know, like go with Sofia Vergara. Go with something like that.
And you kind of look like Sofia.
But then somebody calls you and they're expecting to meet you. I mean, them.
Yeah, but why don't we, maybe we should take the approach, even though it's not always what aliases are about, going with celebrity doppelgangers so people get word.
Well, people just say any random redhead and they think I look like them, and that's not really true.
I don't even think I look like anybody.
I know you have more in mind. What do you want to be?
What's that? Well, I'd want to make it incredibly impossible for the lady to pronounce the name. So I want it to be like Cuauhtémoc Xochimilco. You know, like, so she could call me and be like, Mr. Milko?
Well, this is the thing.
Cuauhtémoc Xochimilco is mine.
Your friends call the hotel and they have to have that name.
Right.
Even better.
So then your friends can't. So like your own wife couldn't get a hold of you in the hotel.
You need to have something simple, like Fred Flintstone.
No.
Okay. That's boring.
That's boring.
All right, I'm going to be Ryan Gosling's baby.
Just Ryan Gosling's baby?
JC, why don't you be like Uncle Jesse?
Yeah.
Uncle Jesse.
There you go.
Danny Tanner. Something like that. Pay homage to one of your favorite TV shows.
Ryder Strong.
I'd be like Kelly Kapowski.
Yeah.
Right?
From Saved by the Bell.
Yeah.
I could be Ryder Strong from Boy Meets World. And it also sounds like a cool name.
I wouldn't mind being Chris Tucker. How you going to get fired on your day off?
We did ask you to call in and help us out with our aliases.
All right.
We have Cooley on the phone. And you have one.
Not your real name.
Is that your real name, Cooley?
Yeah, that's my last name.
Okay. Oh. Cooley. Oh.
Mr. Cooley.
Okay, what do you got?
Okay, I got one for each of you.
Okay.
Jose, or JC, my bad. You can be Ambrosio Martinez, but you can call me Joe. Big Al.
Yeah.
We go by Richard Cranium.
Thanks.
You go by Rosie Red.
Okay.
And Jenna. I need a man.
Very good. Man with two N's.
Very good.
Well done, Cooley.
Very good.
You going to take that, Richard?
That's all right. Richard. I'll take it. Call me Mr. Cranium.
Well done. I like that one.
Yep.
Richard Cranium.
Yeah. We got to get to
I'll
this
take
one
it.
Here.
Okay.
Sharonda has one for Big Al Mac.
What our alias should be. What do you got?
All right. Big Al, since you were in love with that letter from to Kelly this morning, and you kept saying that you love Sebastian so much, how about your name, your alias be Sebastian?
Sebastian.
It's kind of interesting that she put you with Sebastian.
Sebastian. Yeah.
Some would say.
I do like that name.
You may have already.
I do like that name, though.
You could, and
I
only
liked it so much.
Mm-hmm. Sebastian Cabot. That's the only Sebastian I can think of. Mr. French
Mr.
from Family Affair.
From Little Mermaid.
Okay. Oh,
Sebastian Fedora. Yeah.
I got it. Okay.
All right. Thanks, baby.
Yeah, JC, why wouldn't you be like Tom Brady?
Because it's football season. Nobody would think that I'm Tom Brady.
Well, no one's going to ever think you're Tom Brady anyway.
The whole point is for them just to not know who you are.
No, I want them to think I'm somebody cooler.
How about if you're...
Because I'm not that
George
cool.
George Clooney often goes by Arnold Schwarzenegger.
See, that's cool.
I mean, no one thinks he's Arnold. I mean, everyone knows who he is, but that's funny.
How about if you're Brady Bunch?
My name,
Mr. Bunch?
My name's Jackson 5. We're going to go here with Joseph, who has one for everybody.
Okay, great.
Yes, I do. How's everyone doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Doing all right. I got to say, first for Al, I got to say, just put Reverend Al. People are going to be thinking like Al Sharpton or something
right.
like that.
Oh. Reverend Al. Reverend like,
yep.
right. I like
Reverend
that.
Al. Yeah.
And for JC, I put like Kellen Clemens, a backup quarterback for the Chargers.
Yeah.
He's not too known, but he's still going to, JC's going to get a kick out of that.
Yeah. And he's pretty good.
That's smart.
That's good.
I like that one.
For Kelly, I'd put something like Britney Saporta, because you know how Kelly loves her Britney.
Britney, and I love Gabe.
And Gabe Saporta, so we've got to do a little hybrid there.
I love that. Britney Saporta.
Yeah. And for Jenna, I was thinking just one name, like Giselle. Just flat out one name. Oh, this girl's a big deal. She got one name.
Right. And I need about 8 more inches to be convincing on that.
We got to give her a fake driver's license. Giselle.
I'm just about 100 Giselle. Pounds and get 8 inches. You be Tom Brady, I'll be Giselle.
No.
You be Joe Manganiello and I'll be Sofia Vergara.
Okay, I'll be Joe Manganiello.
Okay. Let's be someone very famous so then maybe people tattletale.
Thanks, Joseph. That's a good one.
Ryan's
okay, you can always go post on our Facebook pages or tweet us at Kid Nation if you think you have a very clever alias for us to use for our trip to L.A.
This is the Kid Craddock Morning Show.